tech startups are all the rage. Names like Lyft, Snapchat, and Airbnb have dominated headlines for nearly half a decade. Here in Tallahassee, though, there's one local organization helping out startups of a different flavor. The Kitchen Share Incubator at the Frenchtown Heritage Farmers Market helps new culinary businesses access the space, advice, and networks that prove to be key to their success. We sat down with interim director Samadi Jones and market manager Lauren Chappelle to learn about local food, food industry startups, and the food desert that exists locally. Stay tuned to Season 3, Episode 3 of the Startup Capital Podcast to find out how the Kitchen Share Incubator is helping food entrepreneurs make an impact. Production support for Startup Capital comes from WFSU Public Media. Okay, today is all about food entrepreneurship and the revitalization of a beloved community within the capital city. I am joined today by Samadi Jones, Interim Hub Director at the Frenchtown Heritage Hub, and Lauren Chappelle, Market Manager at the Frenchtown Heritage Hub. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
So let's get right down to it. Okay, revitalized Frenchtown. A lot of people probably know the area, you know, the community. It's well known in the area, but opened in fall 2016 is sort of the revitalization. So tell me about your background, how you guys got into it.
So I, Lauren, have a master's in urban and regional planning from the department at FSU. And so when I was still in grad school, I got involved with the market as an intern, kind of doing one of my projects for school on the market. And then in 2016, when we opened for that market season, I came on as market manager. So been since 2014 doing stuff with the market. And so now it's really exciting to see all of the things that we've done in the past few years and how much we've grown. It's really amazing.
Absolutely. And then what about you, Samadi?
Well, originally I got involved at the very beginning of this year as a budding food entrepreneur. I have Love Jones Sweets, which is a baked goods food startup. And I was participating with the Frenchtown Farmers Market. My background is in project management, strategic planning, and communications. And when I found out about Kitchen Share and everything that was being planned with that, I loved it so much, loved the people involved so much that I volunteered my time with some of the early design for the kitchen layout and the entrepreneurship program. So that was the original introduction.
That's great. Kitchen Share is, just for everyone listening, Tallahassee's first food-based incubator. And as far as I know, one of the only ones still in quite a big geographical region, right?
Yes. So it's going to be the only one within 100 miles of Tallahassee.
Wow.
I know.
That's pretty incredible. It's also interesting. It's placed in a food desert. So.
Yes. So in a food desert, if you don't know, is an urban area in which it's difficult to buy affordable or good quality fresh produce. In Frenchtown, which is a historically Black and low-income neighborhood, it has been designated as a food desert. So the market, when we started there, was really a response to food insecurity, to that lack of access in the neighborhood. Kitchen Share was developed as a revenue stream to sort of help keep the farmers market alive, because we really want the farmers market to be a low barrier economic entry point. It's not necessarily a sustainable program. So bringing the kitchen in helps make the market sustainable, and it also offers scaffolding, I guess you'll say, to help some of our food-based entrepreneurs at the market scale up into commercial production. It's really important that Kitchen Share is in Frenchtown because it increases access for everyone in the neighborhood to economic empowerment opportunities, but also it brings people outside of Frenchtown into that community. So the revitalization that you were talking about, Frenchtown definitely has an image problem, and we're really excited for these programs to help contribute to basically destigmatizing the area, to bringing people into seeing what it really is, and that to have people not say, Frenchtown, like, I heard I'm not supposed to go there.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Speaking to the importance of it being a food desert and, mm-hmm. and the low barriers, it's also one of the only farmers markets or the only farmers market in the whole region that accepts EBT and SNAP. That was an important decision for you guys, right?
Yes. So we're the only one that has a centralized SNAP EBT access, and we are the only one between Jacksonville and Pensacola that can double SNAP up to $20 a week with our Fresh Access Bucks program.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Because fresh produce, you know, people think, you know, you wouldn't even know you were in a food desert. You know, think about food deserts when you live in a food oasis, which mm-hmm. is the opposite, where you have plenty of access to fresh produce, as you know. Mm-hmm. That's great. So tell me about food entrepreneurship. What changes have you seen in this arena? Have startups and technology kind of affected that?
For food entrepreneurship, I'm sure it has. I know we do, at least in Tallahassee, we have the Red Hills online market. So it is definitely technology-based. It's online. People order what they want from their farmers, and then they get to pick it up on Thursdays, which is really great. It also allows the farmers to only harvest what they know people want. So that's really exciting.
It limits waste, I'm sure.
Yes. And speaking of food waste, there are a lot of apps and things now that really are helping us sort of return to traditional and common sense ways of life. So like food sharing and potlucks and not wasting your food. So there's a new app that I just downloaded recently actually called Olio that allows you to list things that you have in your pantry that you're not going to eat or that are about to expire or whatever that someone else might be able to eat before it goes bad.
I love that.
I know.
I'm going to download that.
It's good. You should, because there's not enough people in Tallahassee. So so basically technology is making it easier to return to those traditional methods to and to like bring in diverse communities. So it doesn't just have to be someone that's down the street from you. It can be someone that you would have never met that you're now like exchanging bananas for banana bread for cucumbers from someone's garden.
Right. And it kind of brings us back to the neighborly feel that a lot of people, the misconception is that technology takes that away. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's on their own sort of
in your bubble
with your phone. But, you know, technology can be used in a lot of these ways to bring people together back to how, you know, things used to be maybe before. So that's really exciting. Samadhi. What are some local barriers that exist for food and restaurant entrepreneurs? I know you said you kind of began in that space and then you moved into the director position, the interim director position.
Well, yes. And I'm a budding food entrepreneur, so I'm not sure about a lot for restaurants. I mean, you know, in order to have your product in a grocery store or a restaurant, you have to make it in a commercial kitchen. That's the first thing. So the Frenchtown Farmers Market, where I was selling my goods, you have quite a few cottage food vendors who want to scale up. But making that jump from cottage food to commercial production typically involves leasing or building a kitchen, which isn't viable without a business plan and, you know, a loan or, you know, just things that are out of reach for people like me. But that's where Kitchen Share comes in. So with the kitchen rental and the incubator program, we can offer also, in addition to those, wraparound services like marketing and branding and helping to build those client relationships that create that value chain that supports success for food entrepreneurs.
Of course. And other things are included in this program. I know you mentioned the wraparound services, but food safety courses, the equipment courses, responsibility
absolutely.
And sustainability.
You know, food entrepreneurs have the talent to make some great food, but sometimes we don't know about the various regulations and requirements that govern the food industry.
And so, there are many.
Yes. And, you know, the downside is if food is improperly prepared, it can make you sick. It can even kill you. So for people
who don't want that.
No, not at all. So for people who do want to have a food-based business, it's supremely important for us to master food safety. And that's one of the reasons why the ServSafe course is part of our entrepreneurship curriculum.
That's great. And then why back to barriers, it's only $15. Why was this low price point really important for you guys?
Well, one of the goals that remains front and center for us when we were making sure that the program is accessible to our local first-time entrepreneurs. So KitchenShare is going to allow populations traditionally underrepresented in business to have the access and opportunity, and it's going to also help existing businesses to scale up, as Lauren was mentioning earlier. So what we're trying to do is to hit that sweet spot in pricing that allows access while ensuring sustainability for the program. So we're still working out the details on the pricing, and that $15 figure may change a little bit, but right now the average hour of kitchen access is projected to be around $15.
That's amazing, because it's a balance. You know, you want to be able to keep the program going, as you said, sustainability, so can't be too low, but there goes the barrier again.
And I guess I ought to mention here that we are a nonprofit.
Gotcha.
So when we talk about hitting that sweet spot, it's not hitting a sweet spot between investors who are looking for a profit. It's really hitting the sweet spot for sustainability of the program.
That's wonderful. Who are the types of people that you see entering into this program?
So we have been so excited to see that the types of people entering our first cohort started in October for our KitchenShare Incubator program. And we have a diversity of people, a diversity of product. We're really excited to have a lot of populations typically underrepresented in business and startups. So we have students, we have retirees, we have people of color, but we have people who work 40 plus hours a week and then who are doing this on the side as sort of what they hope to have this become their main bread and butter.
Right, the launch.
Yes. And then we have people who are like, I mean, I think I can spend 10 hours a week doing this, but that's all I want.
Right.
So it's so great to see the diversity of people that this program attracts. Frenchtown residents, people who are coming in from Wakulla. Like, we're excited to have all of these people.
That is exciting.
And I'd like to say something really brief. You know, we're so grateful to have Lauren in this program. She brings so much expertise. As you know, she's the Frenchtown farmers market manager, but her role is expanding to the value chain manager. And that value chain is really where we're going to be able to leverage all this expertise that she's built and these relationships that she's developed, not just here locally, but throughout the state and regionally. I don't know. Lauren, do you want to say something about that?
Sure. So this value chain manager position allows me to help supply KitchenShare clients. So if something is produced locally that people will use in their recipes, in their products that they're developing in KitchenShare, then I want to get those products or that produce locally. And so having built relationships with farmers, with even there are specialty mushroom growers. There are so many cool things happening in Tallahassee and happening in the state. So, and then additionally, so on the other end of that, once KitchenShare clients make their products in KitchenShare, I'm working on developing relationships with grocery stores, with local restaurants to get those products into places where people can buy them so that it isn't just at the farmer's market where you have to sell direct to consumer, but it really alleviates a load from the entrepreneur who can then focus on doing what they do best, which is making a delicious, great food product.
Right. And this is all part of what you get when you are in the cohort.
Yes.
So you sign up and you got Lauren in your corner,
yeah,
for sure, taking care of the tough stuff while you know, grow your cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And helping you to learn what you need to know to sustain your own success.
The give a man a fish, teach a man to fish.
Exactly.
Situation. That's fantastic. What kind of products are people creating out of this cohort that you've seen so far? So this was your first cohort, started just this past October.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of stuff have you guys seen coming out?
Some of the products we have coffee, we have desserts, dietary restrictions. So one of our cohort members has dietary restrictions and wants to let all kids, so like, be able to be included at the birthday party.
That's a big trend lately, which is good, you know.
It is. And, well, I think it's so exciting to see inclusivity in our culture even transcending into the food world. So, I mean, even with programs like Kitchen Share that really want to help underrepresented populations, but, I mean, even so far as going into, like, we have so many vegan products at the Frenchtown Farmers Market. We have gluten-free things. We have nut-free. We have local. So being able to really represent that sort of breadth of dietary restrictions and have something for everything is amazing.
All right. Well, that's a great place for us to kind of pause for a second and hear from Cuddlesoft, and we'll be back in a moment.
The Startup Capital Podcast is brought to you by Cuddlesoft. Cuddlesoft is a creative product development agency with offices in Florida and Colorado. We craft beautifully designed and highly scalable solutions for web, mobile, IoT, and the cloud. Our team builds engaging digital experiences by combining years of software design expertise with empathy. From working on the nation's largest IoT network of weather sensors to transforming the way nonprofits deliver in the cloud, Cuddlesoft is ready to handle your business's toughest challenges. To learn more about Cuddlesoft or to get in touch, visit www.cuddlesoft.com.
All right, and we are back. So next, I wanted to kind of pivot and talk to you guys about community support behind this. Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association has kind of been vital. Other organizations like the Domi Station have donated quite a bit of services. Tell me about the community support and who's been really instrumental in what they've done.
Absolutely.
Well, yes, like you said, the Frenchtown Heritage Hub, the Farmers Market, and Kitchen Share wouldn't exist without our community support and funding. We've gotten almost $1 million in combined funding from the federal USDA grants and matching funds from the Tallahassee Community Redevelopment Agency. And we're very fortunate to have the strong support of our communities, municipal leaders, businesses, and higher education. It's really hard to single out just a few.
That's fair. Could we single out Jim Bellamy, though, for a moment?
Well,
Absolutely. He
is us.
He is you.
He
so
is us.
Jim Bellamy is a longtime Frenchtown resident. He was born and raised pretty much in the fabric, like you said, and then is now serving as the executive director for the Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association. So how has that been?
Jim Bellamy and Michelle Gomez really are
the foundation.
These programs were built on. Michelle Gomez, who just moved on in October, was the executive director, and together they conceptualized the Kitchen Share program. They secured the federal funds and the matching funds, and they've worked for 2 to 3 years to bring this whole program to life, to bring this facility to life. So
the market started in 2011, and for the first Michelle Gomez got involved in 2013 with KCCI project. So talking about Mr. Bellamy and his contributions, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that basically he carried this program on his back for 2 years, 2 to 3 years at the very beginning there, where he was doing the work, he was showing up, he was the one building that consistency, and he wasn't getting paid for any of it. So
that's a theme in early entrepreneurship, doing what you love, low funds. That's really cool. You mentioned the KCCI Foundation.
Yes.
You got about $48,000. And the Community Foundation North Florida a year ago, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack committing funds like this to this kind of initiative. What does that mean to you guys? I mean, that's like kind of a big high name saying, hey, this seemingly geographically small thing is so important that we're going to put a bunch of money behind it.
I mean, it's really hard to accurately describe. I mean, that's just such a joyous and like affirming thing to have happen, where this program that, I mean, a pretty small team of people, we have an amazing support system, but really for a while there, it was Jim and Michelle and myself, Lauren, and our amazing board of directors. But some of the time, and I know entrepreneurship feels this way too, like you're kind of, you're struggling along and you're in the dark and you're just like, I really hope all of this is worth it. And then to have that kind of recognition where it is like, we're asking for help. And a lot of times you get really used to saying no and asking anyway. So you're just sort of asking with like, well, the worst thing they can do is say no and like not give you money.
Before, right. Yeah.
Keep moving. But then to have that recognition and that acknowledgement, it is really affirming and like, oh, wow, other people think this is as awesome as we do. Like, yes, there is light now and it's not all just us slogging through the dark together, but really like, and bringing this program to the community.
And you would say in general, all of the no's and the slogging in the dark, totally worth the yes and when someone eventually will support you.
And I guess even in the dark, it never, when you believe in your programs, in your product, you don't really realize that it's dark until the light turns on. And then it's just still that affirming and like, oh, wow, like other people also think this is cool. But like there was never a question of us not slogging through the dark.
That was cool and important.
Yes.
That's great.
I think one of the things that I can just kind of add to what Lauren is saying is that, you know, there are so many people who learn about this program and are so taken with the elegance of it that...
I know I was.
Thank you. As was I. That you instantly want to do what you can to help it to thrive, to not just survive, you know, to really bring it to full fruition, right? So we've got people throughout the community who've been reaching out and very supportive in ways that you see their faces brighten when they hear about it. You hear the energy coming, you know, through their voice about how can we get to be a part of this? How can we help you guys? How can we join forces to make sure that the entrepreneurs who come to you have the support that they need to build successful businesses? Because in the end, that's what this is about, making a community that is sufficient and more than sufficient, that is nourishing to the whole, to the greater Tallahassee area. You know, and beyond that, you know, hopefully as Lauren develops those relationships, we'll be able to get regional distributors for some of our products, if not national distribution for some of the products coming out of our little Tallahassee Kitchen Share facility.
Yes.
Originating
so
from Kitchen Share.
So the really exciting prospects of Kitchen Share is really that we hope to be a pass-through point. We aren't the end-all be-all. We are scaffolding to get you from one place to the other. So from where people currently are to where they are self-sufficient and they have developed a business plan and secured a loan to build their own kitchen, or they've developed a relationship with other entrepreneurs to have a new shared kitchen space or something like that. So and even the farmers market is that as well. And we've had some vendors come through the farmers market and now some have moved on and opened in the House of Plywood in Railroad Square, or who have developed relationships with other people. We're here to help you start. But and maybe we are here, maybe that's all that you want, is to do local or regional distribution. But we would love to see some of our products go national. But that just would definitely, we don't have the capacity at Kitchen Share for that type of production. But we can help them develop those relationships so that they can become a nationally distributed product.
That's great.
Yes.
So Michelle has moved on to the Oasis Center for Women and Girls,
yes.
The Living Classroom. How is that coming along?
That's great. So our Living Classroom is our on-site garden. We're really thankful to a lot of volunteers, Era Boyd, of Restoration Orchard is instrumental. Tiffany Torres with the Family Nutrition Program at IFAS donates a lot of plants, soil, different things. Like, even recently I was like, I don't know where our pitchfork is and we have mulch and I can't scoop it. Can we have a pitchfork? She's like, yeah, let me get you a pitchfork. So similarly to all of our other programs, the Living Classroom would not exist without so much community support. Food Not Bombs comes out.
Ooh, what's that?
Oh, so Food Not Bombs, every Sunday they do a meal share in Frenchtown at the Carter Howell Strong Park for people experiencing homelessness or who don't have food. It's usually a vegan meal, so it's also inclusive. They use produce from our garden. So in exchange for some of their volunteer hours, we also give them some of the produce. So, but Food Not Bombs is an amazing program. They're always looking for volunteers. But the Living Classroom is similar in that it's thriving. It's amazing. But it would not exist without our community partners and support.
I have a quote here from Michelle Gomez.
Yeah.
Now that the money has been raised, the real work begins. For entrepreneurs listening, for budding entrepreneurs listening, a lot of people think the hard work is kind of getting to the first sort of support, and that is a lot of hard work. But, you know, once you get there, it's not easy street, as you guys have demonstrated.
Yeah, but Lauren was observing in the car ride over here that the project planning piece is the piece that, you know, to the person who is just, you know, kind of embarking on this process of entrepreneurship, that they might not, it'll be the thing that they don't know that they need to know.
Right. It'll come out of nowhere.
Right. And, you know, lots of people learn on the go, and I think the value in having someone who's experienced in project planning means that you don't make a lot of the choices that you end up having to go back and modify or change. It just achieves efficiencies.
Right. Even with all your combined experience, you still feel like you're learning on the go, though, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Every day's a journey.
It's a delightful journey and such a learning experience. One of the things that I've enjoyed throughout this process is learning how, you know, I don't know if you can tell from my voice, but I'm not quite as young as Lauren. And and it's so, I don't know, inspiring to see how many young people are really, really seriously dedicated, like the way that Lauren lives her life. And, you know, she walks to work, and it's not because she's too poor to drive. It's because she makes a choice. You know, you've got people who are making these really socially responsible, environmentally responsible decisions on how they're going to live their lives, spend their money, nourish their families, and support their community. You know, I belong to Gen X, and it was more on personal achievement.
Okay.
That was the focus of my generation. And we're seeing that, you know, personal achievement is fantastic, but if you do it at the cost of, you know, others or of the community as a whole and what's best for the planet, then you're really kind of working against your own best interests.
Rising tide lifts all boats.
Yes.
Ah, nutshell.
Love, love, love.
I've got another quote here. I'd like to save the world, but I'll settle for changing it. Does that ring a bell, Lauren?
That is my Twitter bio. So really the way that I got into local food was I graduated undergrad with this idealistic mindset and I wanted to save the world, and then I was completely overwhelmed. Like,
there's a lot to change.
Exactly.
And save.
There is a lot to do. So I really kind of had to narrow my focus and find something that I could make concrete progress towards. So, you know, there's all those sayings, eat an elephant one bite at a time, but find your elephant. Find something that matters to you but doesn't overwhelm you to the point of anxiety and you can't actually get anything done because it's just so big of a problem. So find your elephant and start eating, I guess.
One bite at a time.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, ladies. This was wonderful and inspiring. And everybody head to the corner of MLK Boulevard and Georgia Street. What time?
Saturdays 10 to 2.
Excellent. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
The Kitchen Share Incubator is a great example of how communities can rally around small business entrepreneurship to make an impact. Along with the farmers market, the Frenchtown Heritage Hub programs are a way for local individuals to learn about business and get involved with their community. You can find the Frenchtown Farmers Market at 524 North MLK Junior Boulevard every Saturday from 10 to 2 p.m. Starting in May, the Tuesday market will be open from 2 p.m. until 7 p.m. Be sure to follow us online on Twitter at StartupTLH and at Cuddlesoft, and subscribe to our newsletter at startupcapital.cuddlesoft.com/subscribe. That's startupcapital.cuddlesoft.com/subscribe. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time for the next edition of the Startup Capital Podcast. This show is recorded and produced in the Startup Capital, Tallahassee, Florida.